rebirth was very strange to the Hebrews 20 centuries ago. Even Nicodemus, who was more advanced than some, was puzzled. And Jesus' attempt to establish with him the concept of rebirth from the human to the spiritual brought about a series of anxieties in the life of Nicodemus. He couldn't understand. It just didn't make sense. How could he be reborn? He even asked the question, how can I enter into my mother's womb again? And the first birth, of course, from the mother's womb, was not what you were doing in rebirth. It is to change what was thought to be the birth of the human race into the reality of immortality. Now, you have thought of yourself as a human being, and I know you're going to labor to lose that concept. And when you accept yourself as the immortal, not born of woman, born in the Father's kingdom, you will look at your form and see that then this cannot be who I am. And it's strange. We can't tell the rest of the world the truth of it. We can only tell that to those who have expressed a desire to live in the eternal universe. And there's no way to live in the eternal universe in the belief that I am a form. And your spiritual body is not a form. You won't find where it ends or where it begins. It has no shape. It is a universal body. There is nothing beyond it. It is everybody's body. And until you accept it, you have no rebirth. Rebirth is the essential for coming into the awareness of the spiritual kingdom. Rebirth is the awareness that comes to you that I am the child of God, not the child of my parent. And that as the child of God, all that the Father has is mine forever. When I became the child of God, I don't know, because it has no beginning in time. And if I am the child of God, then I cannot lack a quality of the Father. So Paul stepped forward and said, we are equal with God. The child of God is equal with God. And only the one who is the child of God lives in perpetuity. The one who is not the child of God is a mortal, and has the life of a mortal, and the problems of a mortal, and the termination of a mortal, and no divine bestowals. So to be reborn is quite a project. You may think, I don't have enough time. I'm so many years old, I've only got 10 years to go. How can I be reborn? You may think, I don't have the capacity. I'm limited. I'm just a woman. I'm just a man. I have problems. I have children. I have this and that. I can't be reborn. You know, God doesn't think so. It just never occurred to God that you couldn't be reborn into God's kingdom. Regardless of your age. And so Nicodemus, you see, was not a child. I would say Nicodemus was a senior citizen. And here he is the one who Christ is talking to about being reborn. Probably a grandfather. So let us not hear any statements about, I am too old to be reborn. I am too old to start living, to learn that my life is not in a body of flesh. Of course, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But our lives are not in bodies of flesh. So now let us see how you're going to start thinking about yourself not in a body of flesh. Because undoubtedly we have all fallen into that direct lie about ourselves. I thought I was a body of flesh, and all the aches of that body were mine. All the problems of that body, everything connected to that body was my problem. And I wasn't talking about my body at all. I was talking about what I thought was my body. Because I looked in the mirror and I saw one. And then I looked out at the other friends of mine and they all had one too. And we all thought we were human beings. And then one by one, they disappeared from view. We have broken out of that. We have come into the understanding that every word spoken by the Father is the absolute truth. Every word the Father spoke, and every word the Father spoke is the only word that is the absolute truth. And whatever the Father says to me that I can do and must do, I can do and will do. Because the Father's word is the only word that is the word of God. So develop this new hope and say, what does the Father say? What does the Father do? And for whom does he do it? And why not me? I'm in a world of miracles. And I can't live without a miracle. Sometimes two or three a day. How can we live without miracles? When we all thought we were something we were not. And the Father's miracle says, be ye reborn of the Spirit. oh, I am not going to be reborn of the flesh. That's the difference. Sure, I'm old. I'm 77. I'm going to be 80-something. And I'm ready to die. But I'm told to be born of the flesh. No more. But be ye born of the Spirit. And now I see what Nicodemus was facing. He thought he had to be reborn of the flesh. But he was being told about a new birth, in which he became a child again, in which the qualities of the Father were slowly added to him as he developed the awareness of their presence. Another life in exchange for the life that never was. So when we think of a new birth, we're not talking about taking tired old bones. We're not talking about a breathing process that isn't working becoming a good breathing process. We're not talking about a brain that isn't Phi Beta Kappa suddenly becoming Super Kappa. We're talking about a new you, which is the original you. And that's quite different. You're not going to be retreaded. You're stepping out into a brave new universe, a universe with a different substance, a spiritual universe where you are the Spirit of God, where you never have an age, where you never grow old. If this were not true, we wouldn't be teaching it. We believe it because we have learned it is true. We have learned through experience of it. Some in lesser measure than others. But we have learned that the words of Spirit are true. And that everyone on the earth, everyone is going to go through a rebirth of spiritual development, which will take them out of the flesh which ages. That's what we're talking about. And that's what we're finding wherever we go. So if you're 60, 50, 40, 30, 70, 80, 90. Don't worry about that. That has nothing to do with rebirth. Rebirth is a change of concept from concept to the reality of being. You start out in spirit in your rebirth as a child. It's the equivalent of a 20-minute child. It grows by the minute. But yet, you have the wisdom of the saints. Now, we all have this opportunity to have a rebirth, not of the flesh, but of the spirit. We never had been flesh, and consequently the rebirth of the Spirit is the first time that we are being taken into our true self. Nicodemus was going to learn that in his second birth he had escaped from the tyranny of the first birth. The first birth which showed him that man without God is lost, inevitably dead, that man requires the presence of God in order to be a living spirit. He is the substance of God, and he cannot be separated from God, or else he wanders off into a thing called humanhood and loses the precious possession of life. There is no human life. It is our grandest obsession. A life that ends is not life. Life is continuous, forever. Life is of God. And when you have the possibility of attaining that life, never think you're too old or not adaptable to it. It was meant for every human being to learn that he is not a human being, and that his days of mortality are numbered by the degree to which he accepts the spiritual rebirth. So we're talking now not to a few, to everyone. And then as you learn what the world is not prepared to learn, then one here and one there learns from you, and you in turn become their teacher. You learn to take your children aside and say what you must say, that God is their father. They are children of the Father. You bring new vision, new hope. You bring a new level of attainment. They don't go out and get a degree at college, end up in a specific job, do well at it, then grow older, and then lose the job, lose the security, and move into that realm which says, it's time now for you to pass on. That's the old world that never was, that we always thought was. Thank heaven for the spiritual vision that is on this earth, which is given. The awareness of life everlasting, of divinity everlasting. I don't care who you are. Your limitations are not God's limitations. And you are being told that you can accept God's life without limitation. No matter who you are, what you feel you are, your life is the life of God without limitation. And you may turn it down for another 2,000 years. But in the end, every knee will bend, every knee will fall, every knee will say, well, I didn't think I could do it, but I wasn't counting on the Father's giving me the power to do it. And so we're going into rebirth with that understanding. There's nothing in rebirth that I've got to do. I will be reborn. Maybe it will seem like I am helping it along, but I won't be standing in the way. The Father says, be ye reborn of the Spirit. And I didn't see that he said, there's one religion excluded, or there's one race excluded. Everybody from Mohammedan to Israelite to Christian to all religions, and even to the atheist. What do you think happened to Judas? Each is entitled to the fullness of his spiritual development. And it has taken so long for us to come to the realization that our spiritual development is where our growth comes in. Now there's nothing can stop us. Absolutely nothing. They could put you in jail for a year. You'd still be able to grow spiritually. Because it's the Father's will. And wherever you are, the Father's will, if permitted, if not interfered with, the Father's will prevails. You step right out of that prison cell. The gates open. And the gates of the mind also open. So the cell that locks you in your mind, the cell that says you can just go this far in life, you don't have the opportunities, those cell walls are just a waste of time. There are men who have become famous with miniature beginnings, women who have done likewise. Died where he was meditating, to the sea where they were in danger. Incorporeal spirit can do that. It is instantly wherever it wants to be, wherever it must be. So they were saved. That quality, that unique quality, is the nature of spirit for every one of us. Every quality of spirit is not given to one individual. The qualities of spirit we all partake of when we are that spirit. So that every miracle performed by the Jesus, by the Christ, is performed by none other but the Christ that you are. And that is how you become the practitioner of Christ's miracles. Only because the Christ is you. And once you begin to be aware that the Christ is I, then the miracles become part of that Christhood. They're not considered miracles to the Christ. They're merely shown to the human beings of the world as miracles. They're everyday living, because perfection is the Christ rule. I'd like each one of us to find within himself something that he considers a miracle and rest in that idea for a moment. Perhaps a miracle that happened to you, perhaps a miracle that happened to a friend, or perhaps a miracle that happened to someone you don't know, but you know it happened. And think of that miracle for a moment. Could it happen in the material world? Or did it happen first in the spiritual world and then appear to us as a miracle? miracle performed by the Christ, Jesus, occurred because he was in a spiritual body. Do you think that your spiritual body is a different body and will not perform those miracles? The moment you are in your spiritual body, every miracle performed by Jesus is in your repertoire of things that I can do. This may seem out of reach to you, why don't you give it a whirl and see? Why don't you, for example, spend the next day or so, even a couple of hours a day, and accept the spiritual body of Christ as the spiritual body of you? That's the truth of who you are anyway. I am the spiritual Christ, therefore I have the spiritual body. And this spiritual body is capable of miracles that I did not know would be mine. It can repair quickly because it's never ill. It can break the illusion of needing repair. It can do things that I wouldn't dare to even dream. But I have that spiritual body. It was mine from the beginning. I've never used it. I didn't know I had it. Well, I can't expect it to do things like leaping 6,000 miles a second. But I can expect small miracles. And then I can say that these miracles were not done by a me. They were performed by I, the Spirit of God, which indwells me. And I is capable of all miracles on the face of this earth. I'm going to learn to release my miracle capacity by releasing my I. I won't have to go looking for miracles. I simply will live in I, and I will do the living for me. Whatever I does, I will do. I will let I lead me. I which knows no evil. I which knows no material substance. I which knows no limitation. I which knows the fullness of God. I will live me. And this I will call Christ. And while I live, there will be a person outside that people will see. That's their problem. I is living my life in relation to every life on this earth. I who is never hungry. I who never lacks. And every time I think I lack something, I'm not an I. Because when I'm in I will not lack. I'm never sick. When I'm in I'm not sick. I is never sick. But there must be a knowledge, a realization of this I. It isn't done by rote, by memory. It's done through the realization of I. That means there'll be many dark nights of the soul as you live with the I in spite of what appears, until I establishes itself. The prize is worth the living. You are given a universe without limitations. If you have the courage to live in the eye of your being, it slowly shows you the way. Small waves that grow into bigger waves. And then the miracle of I proves itself and teaches you that nothing is impossible to I. All the things you thought were impossible were human. Because I is the Son of the Father. I and the Father are one. The golden opportunity that awaits each of us to realize I is available because we have reached that level of consciousness which is willing to say, I am not a human being. I will not live as a human being. And I will suffer. But I will maintain the knowledge that I am I. Then I will suffer no more. For when I is established, that which is beyond human possibilities will be my everyday life. I will never see night again. Only the mortal sees life with a night and a day. I will never think of age again. And age won't think of me. In the eye of my being, I transcend age. Do you think Paul has transcended age? You think Jesus has transcended age? Think Isaiah has transcended age? Do you realize these immortals live forever? They were once men and women like us. Paul was a man, a religion student, a good one, and he switched to Judaism. from Judaism, he switched to the Christ because he saw the nature of the divine, which was not a way of human thought, but the divine law, which each man had to discover for himself. And as he pursued it, he understood the Christ. He did things that men do not do, that the Christ could do. And when he disappeared from the earth, he lived in his immortal self. Where is Paul today? In the infinite universe. Each member of the infinite universe is an immortal who graduated from being a human being. They are living examples of what is available to anyone who is determined and is enlightened enough to feel that he can reach that plateau. I don't know all of you, just some of you. I have friends among you whom I know will reach that plateau. They have lived for that purpose. They will reach whatever plateau is in store for them, been prepared for them by the Father. Nothing will stop them. Their death will be nothing. They will appear dead. They will not die. They will always be alive and always pursuing the goal. And when they accomplish that goal, they will be in the fifth world, in the Father's kingdom. Like Paul, like Isaiah, like the many who have found that death is just a word. Not a fact. I would like to feel that everyone here, everyone, will remember that his and her mission on the earth is to grow out of the illusion that I must die, that I must suffer, that I must lack, that I must be limited. These are not the words of enlightened human beings. These are the words of human beings who have discovered very little in life. Even enlightened human beings is not enough for the self that we are. We must be willing to die in the physical world for what we believe, and we must believe that we can never die. Something comes to you when you have reached a certain level of thought and you realize that you're not thinking your own thought anymore. Somewhere your thought is in abeyance. Suddenly you feel that someone is putting these thoughts in my head. These thoughts must be coming from some being who is enlightened, possibly the Christ himself. And then you discover the validity of those thoughts by what happens. If what happens is negative, the chances are the thoughts were not valid. But if the thoughts bring with them the activity that supports them and lifts you above the human level of activity into a sense of this is ordained. The Father wanted me to come this far. Then you will find reason for continuing in that direction. And that's how you will find the assurance that your name is written in the book of life, that you truly are a student of divine living, and that someday you will not be a student. You will have others to walk with you. I'd like to feel that we all have a date. We have to say it in years, but it isn't years. As if it were 1,000 years from now we would meet. It would just be minutes in spirit, if there are such things. But we would meet behind the veil, and each say to the other, thanks for a job well done. Thanks for giving me the courage to live outside of my human mind, above my human thoughts, to find a way to travel where my body was not the limit of my being, where everything that I was as a mortal melted away. And I found that the Spirit of God was truly my substance.